Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH. Know Your Risk Radio is hosted by Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often volatile markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
And we are back. Thank you for joining us for another of the most scintillating hours in finance radio. The most, not one of, the most. And we got a good one dialed up. I was joking on the intro with our friends over there at KTTH that, you know, this is the first week in a while that we haven't had much to talk about. Yeah, it's been a wild one, and as you guys know, we've been right in the middle of it. Not really this week because we sold out our positions. Oh, except one. We bought back into Bed Bath & Beyond, I think, on Monday because it got dipped down to 34, and then rode it back up to 46, and I had to exit again just because Bed Bath & Beyond is really a different one. I don't want to shoot our wad here on this story because we're going to do a segment on what's going on and update everybody again. And if you listen to our show, we've got updates on it, new takes, because obviously a lot's gone on this week. And then also going to share with you guys some interviews that I was doing this week, and I was, you know, joking about nobody really wants to talk about anything else. It just seems to be GameStop, AMC. So anyway, we'll get into all that, but Bed Bath & Beyond is getting lumped in here with those ones, and it really is a tiger with different stripes. It's a bird of a different feather. When you look at, well, you've got to segment all three of these stocks. You know, I would put Bed Bath & Beyond at the most closely. It is the stock out of all of this group that is the closest to its actual valuation. And it is expensive right here, but not crazy. I mean, you're looking at a $4.2 billion market cap. They do $11.7 billion a year in revenue. Got a great new management team that's turning things around. So there's some fundamentals in Bed Bath & Beyond. GameStop, AMC, they're just nuts. They're just off the charts. But anyway, we'll get into that. So rest of the market update. What you've got going on here is that The believe it or not, this small group of stocks is really having an impact on the market for a couple reasons. With the trouble that all those hedge funds are in, they're getting margin called. And when you get margin called, you got to meet those demands, right? You have to cover. And so I think part of what you're seeing here is those hedge funds having to flush out other positions, right? It's forced selling on other positions to meet their margin calls. And margin calls, guys, just to break it down for you, whenever you short a stock, if you're short a stock, you've borrowed the stock. So it's like it's margin, right? It's debt. You owe something. It's you don't owe money, right? You're not levered up traditionally, like as in, and when we say levered up, let's say you got $100,000 account, well, You're typically your prime broker, your prime dealer, or your BD, they will lend you money. That's called margin. So you could margin up, you know, you got a $100,000 account, margin it up to $125,000. And the idea is that you only have $100,000 of your money in there, but you got an extra $25,000. So if your account makes 10%, right, that's an additional $2,500 you made because you're using extra money that you borrowed. Shorting stocks is much the same. It's not money you're borrowing, but it's stock that you're borrowing. So that's a form of being, you know, that's on margin. And because you're borrowing it, the broker dealer or your prime dealer, they don't want the rest of your portfolio to get killed and then it be in a situation where they have to step in and cover your margin differential, right? Or your balance. Because all your other stocks crashed and you don't have enough collateral to put up, you can't pay back the stock. And that's why they have margin calls. And I think that that is what's putting, you know, some of this turbulence into the market. The other thing is that the run that we have been on, which has just been vertical, and the lack of volatility throughout that run, and then this action, The other thing is this is sending some shockwaves through the market, especially with people that are watching, because, guys, these are the types of things that you see at market tops. Now, we are not calling a top. I'll actually be surprised if this is the top. However, when you see this type of action, you know, after a run that you've had and the betting and the speculation in the market is getting wilder and wilder. And as I'm driving into the office today, I hear the guys on sports radio joking about stonks and which is a nickname that's come up during this cycle for stocks. You've got all the hallmarks. I mean, look, I'm not out here saying that this thing's about ready to crash. Nobody knows, guys, not even me. But this looks like a really fragile market. It really does. And if it is a really, if I'm right, if my assertion is right, this is a very fragile market, it would make sense. Like I said, you know, if you've got a checklist of a market reaching a euphoric top or a blow off top, a market that's about ready to roll over, we've checked every box. Okay. Now the difference this time, like I've said many times before, is that waiting in the wings, you know, you've got the Federal Reserve and the U.S. government. Now, at some point, their activities and their interventions are not going to be efficacious, at least as it relates to the market continuing to go up. But it's really hard to know when that point is because, you know, it's sort of like a party, right? It's and I don't want to be blasphemous at all, but in some way, these guys are turning water into wine, right? The party's about ready to die. And they cast their wand over the water and make a bunch more wine and boom, the party's back on. And that's what the Fed has been doing. And I don't see any indications that they're going to stop. As a matter of fact, they said they haven't. So until that dynamic changes, I don't think I'll be really convinced that we're going to be at a market top. That being said, though, guys, when you're sitting there looking at a market like this that has done nothing but go straight up on low volatility with the rampant speculation that's going around today, you got to be cautious. Like I've said before, we're, you know, in market terms, I think the market will continue to go higher just because of the Fed and the U.S. government. They're going to keep force feeding it dough. That being said, you've got to be cautious. You've got to be cautious because we're tap dancing on a trapdoor. And at any moment, when you're at these valuations and these levels and the market has run this long, you know, and I wish, you know, one of the things I've realized is that certainty sells, and we've talked about this before, but certainty sells. To be a guru, you've got insight that other people don't have. It's all nonsense. And if you found an expert out there that knows and he called the crashes, well, great. You know, everybody's like, he called 2008, 2009. Well, so did we. In retrospect, that was pretty simple compared to this. And consequently, the portfolios I was managing at the time, we were up nicely during the financial crisis. It's partly by accident. I'm always going to level with you guys, right? I'm not going to take credit for, you know, sometimes luck plays a part in this game and nobody wants to admit it, but it does. And I'll tell you when that happens. But anyway, what we've been preaching now for the last several months is still very much in play. And it really emphasizes, again, us not me trying to talk our book, not me trying to solicit business, but I don't know how you'd navigate these markets unless you had a risk managed portfolio in the works. You know, like I said, we've had a heck of a start to the year. That being said, we've also been positive this week, and it's because of the risk management strategy, right? We've basically held in there. We might be a little even. We're down a little bit today. We might be even on the week. But, you know, the market's taking a hit. And that whole thing is not because we're so brilliant. It's the risk managed portfolio that's way out gaining the market so far on the year and held up. And our outperformance over the S&P 500 on the year, and I don't want to quote numbers because it gets you in trouble with regulators, but that outperformance has widened this month or this week because the S&P's down and we're not. Again, it's just the risk management strategy. And I don't think there's any other way to play it, guys. So anyway, but yeah, we've got a bunch of stuff to talk about. Great, great interview coming up toward the end of the show. It's been long enough. We're going to bring back our Viceroy of Value, Mr. Tobias Carlisle, to talk valuations. He's also got a JD. He was a corporate attorney that took companies public, that understands, you know, short squeezes. Anyway, he's the perfect guy to talk valuations and also illuminate his thoughts on GameStop and all these other stocks. and also give us a historical perspective about how crazy valuations currently are. And I don't want to put words in his mouth. We'll see what he has to say. But anyway, as always, guys, give us a call. If this week isn't convincing you that just riding the market up and down isn't going to work, I really don't know what will. And if it doesn't, you're probably one of those people that'll call us after you're down 30 to 40%. Don't be that guy. Call us 866-779-RISK. There's a better way. You can go through weeks like this where you check your account and go, oh man, the market's getting smashed. I'm down a couple bucks, but I'm hanging right in there. Right, it doesn't need to, and lower your fees at the same time, and get more amplitude to the upside when the market's running. There is a better way. Invest the 3 minutes it takes to call us at 866-779-RISK. Get a free risk review, portfolio proposal. You guys know the deal. Go to bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com, knowyourriskradio.com. Follow me on Twitter at KYR Radio. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. This is the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
Do better in bull markets. Do better in bear markets. Pay less fees in all markets. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management. You can subscribe to Zach's free newsletter, The Bulwark Insider Report, at knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Tory Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss, but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thank you for sticking with us. And before we get started, I want to touch on something right here. We've had some negative reviews on the podcast. We got a good rating, but negative reviews because people complaining that I cut the interviewer off too quick. Guys, that's why we podcast the show, okay? So we only have an hour on the air, and we've got things that we want to get to, and we air part of that with the interviewer, typically between 5 to 10 minutes. And the interviews, guys, are usually somewhere between an hour to an hour and a half. There's tons of content, and I'm probably only talking about 3% of the time because I've got to fill an hour of content every single week. So it's kind of like a radio vacation, you know? But anyway, if you want, and I say this every time, if you want to listen to just the interviews, we post the show and we post the interview separately. You can go just listen to the interviews on our podcast page. So if you're frustrated that we cut the interviews off too quick, go to the podcast page. This is why we do the podcast. We can't fit 3 hours of content into an hour. So anyway, let's get on with it. Okay, so let's get to the topic that everybody wants. It was flattering and yet not at the same time this week because I had interview requests with CNBC, Bloomberg, Fox News, and we did them all. Some of them were in print. We had an article published on CNBC last night that kind of made me uncomfortable. They used my quote as the headline of the article. And if you guys have listened to the show before, you know that I kind of speak plainly. So, you know, you listen to these other guys. Well, they're all professorial. I just like to lay it out in plain English so people can actually understand what in the world's going on. But what I was joking about on the intro is that we'd get these interview requests and I'd be like, oh, they want to talk about how we manage money. Nope. They just want to talk about GameStop, AMC, Bed Bath and Beyond. So we got into it. Well, we'll revisit it again. And we're also going to discuss it with Tobias Carlisle in our interview today. But, you know, basically it's the same as we talked about last week, guys. This is an epic short squeeze in these names that has run amok. And the short sellers will not give in. So everybody, again, keeps focusing on the guys that are long, the guys that are buying options. You've got some, it's very intransigent. You've got these guys that are dug in, right? That aren't going to yield on either side. And there's just a lot more money on the long side right now, especially as it relates to GameStop. Now, let me just put this in here. Well, the one interview lady was asking me, what do you think of the stocks? Look, if you're playing in these names, know what you're doing. You are gambling. Okay, these companies are nowhere close to any type of real valuation. Now, that being said, it's really funny to me when I hear these people on CNBC going off, this is ridiculous. This company's not worth $20 billion, blah, blah, blah. And I'm sitting there going, guys, you're freaking out because GameStop is at $350. If GameStop had Tesla's valuation, it'd be at $1,600. Okay, so there's a lot of selective outrage. Now, I'm not saying GameStop deserves the same type of valuation that Tesla does. Tesla, despite my thoughts on Tesla, it's still a growing company, right? GameStop is trying to turn it around, and they've got some really promising developments. But bottom line, you know, I wouldn't pay $50 for the stock, and I'm a fan of the company. Okay, I think the company's got a legitimate chance to turn things around. AMC, less so. AMC is really hard to sort through. If they make it through all of this, depending on COVID lockdowns and stuff, they're probably going to go up, but they've taken on a boatload of debt too. And so, you know, if you look at where AMC's stock was prior to, you know, if you look at it last year and you're buying it because you think it's going to get back there, I think it's going to have a really tough time because it's taken on a lot of debt. That's kind of exactly what we've said about Boeing. That, you know, a lot of people right now are focusing on the recovery of the economy and going, oh, those stocks are going to get back to where they are. Well, what you've got to do, though, is you've got to look at the balance sheets of these companies because they've taken on a mountain of corporate debt in this last year. And remember, they got to pay interest on that debt. So even if you get a snapback in the economy this year and it gets back to, you know, levels ranges and unemployment rates that we were at to end 2019, you got these companies packing on a boatload more debt. They're not going to be as profitable. And they're going to have dodgier balance sheets, so they're not going to be worth as much money. So look, if you want to do it, go ahead and do it. I mean, nobody's going to stop you. But my advice to everybody, and I said it to CNBC and I said it to Bloomberg, my advice to invest, stay away. Find other things to play in. This is the time to get into these was when we did. The time to get into these things is when they were dirt cheap. And, you know, what we did and the way we play that, guys, when we bought GameStop at $12, when it got up to 24, we sold half of our position. So our original investment is now sitting on the sidelines and we let the rest of it run and we let it run up to 46 or $42 for GameStop and then sold it there. That's, again, risk management, right? So, you know, there's even ways to play that. Same with Bed Bath & Beyond. We bought Bed Bath & Beyond at $467. And I think we peeled some off at around $10. And I think we peeled some more off at like $15 or $17. And then I think we peeled a little bit off, not a lot, at like $30. And then we sold the big chunk of it at $46. And the other thing you have to know if you want to go into names like this and participate in names that are going ballistic like this, you've got to know what the company's worth. Right now, we are watching the charts and the action because if a stock is running, right, something in motion tends to stay in motion, and that applies to stocks as well. But one of the advantages you have if you understand the company and you've got a good idea of what they really look like and what they're valued at, it gives you a better idea of when to get out. Now, do I wish I would have held – well, of course I wish I had held GameStop. But when you triple your money in the matter of 2 months on a stock – and that stock gets to a level where it's no longer worth what people are paying for it, you got to cash it in. You got to take your money and run, baby. Like my grandfather used to say, nobody ever went broke taking profits. And, you know, that's the discipline. And if you don't know how to do that, these are not the stocks to learn on. Okay, so you're going to do whatever you want. My advice is just to stay away. There's plenty of other interesting things out there. Now, the one thing I did want to discuss, though, is the whole Robinhood fiasco. because there's a lot of misinformation out there. And again, I had a discussion that was part of my discussion. Actually, my interview with CNBC was mostly focused on the Robinhood side of it. And Robinhood, here's how Robinhood works. Robinhood is an app that you can trade on, which most of you know that, and it's free. And you've got all these millennial traders and people taking advantage of the free trading platform, and I love it, right? It's great. Well, Robinhood has to make money, right? So the way they make money is they take all of that trade data from all the people on their platform and they sell it. They sell it to hedge funds, one of which they sell to is Citadel, who, interestingly enough, has a stake in the hedge fund that these guys blew up. So when I looked at this scenario, when they shut down trading, I started laughing and I go, these guys are crooks. They got leaned on by Stevie Cohen and Point72. He's another hedge fund that was an investor in Melvin Capital, the hedge fund that was big short on GameStop and blew up. And they didn't go out of business yet. They haven't gone bankrupt, but just they got a massive hole blown in their P&L. I think they're down 70% year to date in 3 weeks. And again, it was stupid. And these guys are really sharp. This is a good hedge fund, but they got stupidly overexposed and did not manage their risk, right? Risk management. And guys, it also weaves right back into what we're talking about with risk management. Okay, these are some of the best investors in the world. Why did they get rocked? It wasn't because they picked the wrong stocks. They got rocked because they did not properly manage risk. And if that can blow them up, trust me, it can blow you up. Okay? Why they stayed short those names, I will never understand. Those companies, to me, when you looked at GameStop at its valuation, it looked like a powder keg looking for a match. That's what it looked like. Okay, so this is really important. We're running out of time in this segment. Let's take a quick break. As always, guys, risk management strategy, this market ain't going to get less nuts, okay? Call us. There is a better way to do it where you can benefit if we continue to go up, but you've got a net underneath you if we don't. Spend the 3 minutes calling us, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com. Follow me at KYR Radio on Twitter and go to bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. Spend 3 minutes contacting us and we'll run you through, show you the performance, show you how our clients were basically even or up this week and how we were up last year. And anyway, we'll walk you through the full thing. Takes a few minutes. Okay, we got to take a quick break, but we're going to be right back. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
What does outside-the-box investing really look like? Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management, and see a side-by-side comparison of your current portfolio versus one Zach would recommend. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently, one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss, but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach uncover the truth about the financial markets with simple and honest advice to help you plan for retirement. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
As we age, we can't always plan on good health, but you can plan long-term care coverage to give peace of mind to you and your family. At Story Monson, a great way to learn about long-term care coverage is to join my friends from 525 Advisors for one of their upcoming free long-term care planning live webinars, Saturday, February 20th and Wednesday, February 24th. You'll learn so much. 525 Advisors will explain how long-term care works, what the coverage pays for, and you'll discover all the new options and different ways to fund a plan. Then when you're ready, 525 Advisors will design a custom plan with you, like they did for my wife and me. Our plan even has lifetime benefits that pay our estate back if we never use it. I love how much time they spent with us. And it's not just me. Read the reviews. People love working with Brian and Madeline at 525 Advisors. So sign up now for one of the free live webinars, Saturday, February 20th, Wednesday, February 24th. Go to 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thank you so much for sticking with us. Okay, so let's get back into it. What I was talking about on the final segment, and there's a couple different angles to this because there's a lot of uproar about the GameStop and AMC and Bed Bath & Beyond. There's a lot of uproar about Robinhood, that trading platform that turned off trading capabilities to these folks. And one of the things that I was telling the CNBC reporter was Robinhood put out a statement and said, look, we're doing this. This has gotten too nuts. It's too volatile. And we're just trying to protect our customers. Well, what I was telling the CNBC reporter is that I took them at face value. I think that they were protecting their customers. I just don't think that people have a very good handle on who their customers are. Robinhood is a free app. Now, you pay no cost for trades. You pay no cost to sign up. They're probably making a bit of a rip off of the money markets that are in that account. So they're probably making some money that way. But the primary way that Robinhood makes money is by selling their order flow, what we call their order flow, or selling all of their data, all of their trade data, all of the stocks that the people on their platform are buying, all the stocks they're selling, where they're buying them at, where they're selling them at, how big a size is, all that kind of stuff. They sell that to hedge funds. Okay, so the hedge fund that blew up. Now look, there's two sides to this story, but I'll just tell you from my perspective. And I am not sure, guys. Again, I'm not a board member at Robinhood. I don't have a direct line to their CEO. I'm just telling you what I'm seeing from the outside. And then I'll give you the flip side of the story. So they sell the data to the hedge funds. And what the hedge funds do is they look at that positioning, they look at that trading, and they use it to optimize their own trades, right? They want to get ahead of these trades or sell this stock because everybody's selling it or buying. You know what I mean? It's an advantage. It's a big advantage. So, and furthermore, a lot of this talk about there being collusion with these guys and they can't do it and it's illegal. If you're one of the people that thinks that, and it's really funny to me if I hear anybody in the industry say that, because that is a joke. Wall Street Bets, the chat room, the subreddit that does this, it's a Reddit. I'm not a big guy at Reddit. I haven't spent a lot of time on there, but it's a... I don't even know how to explain it. It's like a giant chat room, basically. And I can't explain to you how it works. The only social media I know anything about is financial Twitter. So I've never had a MySpace, never had a Facebook. I'm not into that. Anyway, the people talking about collusion, coordinating, and allegations of insider trading, which are ridiculous. None of these people are insiders. But... I can understand what they're saying, but what they don't understand is that's what everybody does. As a matter of fact, Bloomberg, everybody in the industry uses these things called Bloomberg terminals, okay? And they're incredible wealths of knowledge. I mean, if you can think of data that you want on a company and you want to compare a company to another company from 1940, Bloomberg has an unbelievable data set, a great ability to chart. But one of the features, and to sign up for a Bloomberg terminal, to get one of those machines, I think it's like $25,000 a month. We don't have one here. Eventually, I'd like to get one. I just can't stomach $25,000 a month. And I've got a bunch of buddies with them. So, and if any of you are listening, I'm sorry for taking advantage. I'm just cheap. I'm a value guy. What can I say? It's just hard for me to cut loose a $25,000 for a Bloomberg terminal. Eventually, we'll probably end up getting one, but yeah, we'll see. Anyway, my point being is that there's a feature on Bloomberg terminals called Instant Bloomberg, and it's where you can chat with other people with Bloomberg terminals. Well, at $25,000 a pop, who do you think are most of the people that have Bloomberg terminals? It's hedge funds, and they got bunches of them. Okay, and in Wall Street, they have things called idea dinners where they get together several different money managers and they share ideas, and they will agree to go in on a stock together or short a stock together. I mean, this has been happening, you know, people colluding and trading and you know, this has been happening since the invention of markets. This isn't illegal. Now, there are ways you can do it that are illegal, but these guys aren't. More importantly, anybody can log on to that subreddit and see what they're talking about. The only way you know what a lot of these guys are talking about in the chat rooms on the Bloomberg terminals is if you've got one, if you're paying $25,000 a month. So once again, it's these really uneven comparisons. And you know, moreover, this is what hedge funds do to people, right? This is what hedge funds do to retail guys. Finally, the tables are turned. Anyway, let's get back to Robinhood. So Robinhood sells this data to these hedge funds, which gives them an advantage or they wouldn't buy it. And the hedge fund in question, Melvin Capital, the one that almost blew up, I think, like I said, I think it's down 70% year to date. Melvin Capital is run by a guy named, is it Josh Plotkin? Is that his name, I think? Anyway, Plotkin. And he's got a great track record. He's put up some great returns. But he, I believe he worked with, I think he worked with Stevie Cohen at one point. It was either Stevie Cohen or Ken Griffin. Anyway, and the reason that's important, because Stevie Cohen's firm, Point 72, and Citadel, run by Ken Griffin, they put in $2.75 billion of liquidity back on Monday or Tuesday to keep that firm afloat, and they are now LPs. They're limited partners. They own part of the hedge fund now, you know, because they're going to help him out, but it comes at a cost, right? These guys don't do people favors, and I don't fault them for that. I mean, $2.75 billion certainly earns them the right to own a piece of that fund. But what's interesting is that at least for Citadel, and I'm sure Cohen does it too, but I don't know that. But at least for Citadel, I think he's one of the, Ken Griffin and Citadel are one of the biggest clients of Robinhood. So when they say that they did this, that they shut down the trading capability on these names, and they said they did it to protect their customers, I took them at face value. I just, nobody really realizes that their customers are the hedge funds. And it just really looks bad, right? It just, it has the appearance of being untoward or, you know, downright fraudulent or fixing the game. And personally, I believe that there was an element. It might not be the whole story. Personally, I believe there was an element that either those guys tapped the shoulders of Robinhood and said, hey, you need to help us out here. Or perhaps maybe they called senators or regulators and asked them to tell Robinhood to do it. And that's sort of my theory that I'm working on, and I want to underline that that's a theory. I don't have proof. It's just kind of one of those things where you sit back and you look at it, you know, you kind of apply that Occam's razor, right? The most simple, most obvious answer is usually the answer, and I feel like that's it. The other thing that raised suspicion to me was the rolling explanations of this. It first came out, we're protecting clients against unusual volatility. We're trying to protect our customers. And they just kept, the reason they did it just kept evolving. And then that's really weird, right? Usually if you do something like that, there is a hard and fast reason why. And so about 2 days after, 3 days after all this stuff really started getting the media attention, yesterday they came out and they said this was about risk management, meaning due to the unbelievable influx of options purchasing on GameStop, that what a broker dealer has to do is they're facilitating these trades, but a broker dealer has to have a little skin in the game. Okay. They've got to have a certain amount of their capital up online that can back up the trades they're facilitating. That's the best way for me to explain it without getting completely lost in the weeds the way this works. And so just basically, if your clients are all loaded up on something, you need to have capital set aside to backstop that. Not all of it, typically around 10%. But as the bets grow, there need to have that capital there in reserves, according to the rules laid out by Dodd-Frank, which was the legislation that was passed after 08-09 in response to the financial crisis, requires them basically to have money, right? It's almost like a margin call for them. They got to have capital there to show that they can facilitate the trade and they're not going to get upside down and become a giant problem for markets. So, you know, that could certainly be the reason. So before we jump off a ledge with Robinhood, I've been really hard on them, especially in the interviews I've done over the last couple days. But that could be the case. Again, I'm not there. I don't know. And I hate it when people convict before knowing all the facts. But it looks really bad. The other side of that, and I had this conversation with Tobias in the interview that's coming up. The other side of that is that if that was the case, why didn't you just say it? Now, the one thing that lends credence to it to me is the fact that they basically pulled down all their revolving credit lines, which tells me they're in a pinch for cash. And I think, you know, before we go down that road, Tobias and I talk about it in the interview that, you know, they could be financially just in a bit of a hole. And they could be in danger of going under because of this. So and if you guys want to know more about it, I did some interviews and there was that article too. And I think we're going to get them up on our YouTube page or even post them on the website. You can see it, but we basically covered it here. It's going to be interesting to watch this thing unfold because it looks bad. Like I said, but I don't want to judge these people before we know, you know, before we know the data and the facts and really what the case is, because I can see merit to both sides of it. To me, it just seems highly unlikely that there weren't calls, that there weren't some pressure. And then watching the way it went down, watching them change the explanations. And the other thing, I was with a friend of mine that bought some of these calls. He's actually my personal trainer. And he was taking a flyer bet. And he's been a client there for a while. He didn't get any emails about this. This ban just came out of nowhere. It was just odd. And I think it really adds to the whole idea that the rich play by a different game or by different rules. And we all know that's the case. I don't think this is going to be the thing that, you know, brings the market down or anything crazy or alarmist like that. But it's going to be very interesting to watch this shake out because, again, guys, these are all just things you see at the tops of markets. And Robinhood, if their explanation is true, their business has never been booming. We're at the top of a bull cycle. If they've got capital problems, I just think that there is a lot more stress underlying the system than most people realize. And, you know, again, you're at the top of a bull market and Robinhood's having liquidity issues. Look, this could all just blow over in a week or so, but it could also become a bigger story. So we're going to keep our eyes on it. We're going to keep you updated on what's going on there. But again, I just want to reinforce, look, nobody knows, not me, not anybody, you know, which direction. But all of these things should be giving you pause. They should be. They're concerning, especially, again, considering valuations, debt loads, the length of this run, all of those different things that we've discussed. And yet at the same time, the market go a lot higher. You guys have heard me saying that. What do we do when we're looking at those scenarios? You need risk management. That's the name of the game. Risk management, meaning you got to be good both ways. That's what we do, right? Again, last year, you know, our average client was down medium to low single digits during March when the market was down big. Right. This year, having a great year. Doubt markets got hit today. This is Friday. I think our accounts were down a little over 0.5% or 0.7% or something like that. Markets were down. You know, Dow was down 2% today. NASDAQ was down 2%. S&P was down just a hair less than 2%. And risk management improves your returns because you don't get blown up when the market rolls over. Take the 3 minutes, guys. Just inform yourself. Maybe just like everybody that we talk to doesn't become a client. But just inform yourself. See that there's a different way. See that there's a way that you can get more upside with way less risk and less expense. There's a better way to do it. Give us a call. 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. You can follow me on Twitter at KYR Radio. We post things all the time, research, different things we're watching. Sometimes funny, at least by my opinion. And you can go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, subscribe, download the podcast there. And we got an interview coming up, and I want to reiterate again, it's going to be with Tobias Carlisle. We're only going to get to air about 10 minutes of it, 8 minutes of it, something like that, just because we've got other stuff that we got to get to. But if you want to hear the rest of the interview, which I'd strongly suggest, go download the, you know, subscribe to the podcast and download the episodes, and you can listen to the show or you can listen to the interview. You can split it up. We post them separately for that very reason. So anyway, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back after the break to talk to Tobias Carlisle about what's going on in markets, valuations, where we're at historically, a bunch of great stuff. Brilliant guy, great guy, and he's an Aussie. I just like Aussies. It's the accent, but they all just seem like good folks. Anyway, so stick around and hear our interview with Tobias Carlisle. And again, we'll be right back. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach discuss key investment strategies across several asset classes, not just stocks and bonds. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Dory Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss, but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Hi, this is Brian Ott with 525 Advisors, and I want to say thank you for tuning in to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. If you're like me, you look forward to this every weekend. I have been working with Zach and his team for several years now because Zach gets it. He puts his clients first. And for me, that's what it's all about. I know retirement planning can seem daunting at times, but my personal experience has taught me having a professional in your corner is essential. And Zach and his team have proven to me and my clients to be a tremendous asset. Not only will he guide you through your options, he will listen to you and make your concerns his top priority. So give Zach and his team a call. You'll be glad you did. And when you're ready, we can show you how to make sure your retirement plans aren't derailed by an extended healthcare event. We have many options to protect your nest egg and your family, including plans that pay you back if you never use them. You can learn more about us and our upcoming events at 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thank you so much for joining us. And again, it's time for my favorite part of the show, the interview. And we are joined by none other than our Viceroy Value, Mr. Tobias Carlisle. I'm not letting that nickname go. I'm proud of it. Another person called him the modern Walter Schloss. This guy is getting all kind. He is the last man standing in the value arena. I'm there with him as well, but I'm kind of hiding behind him. I don't want to admit it, right? It's a word so fragile you can barely whisper. Anyway, that's Toby, it's great to have you back on the show, buddy, and thanks for doing this. And how are things, man?
Hey, Zach, my absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me back. I always love chatting to you because we cross a few subjects, which is always fun.
Yeah. How are things in the value world? They're going a little bit better, right? They've allowed us to at least pull our heads up and get a breath, right?
Right. Well, we've taken, you know, last time I was on, I was talking about we've got 200 years of data on value, and they have to stitch together all these different data sets. When you get to, like, from 1875 to 1825, that's a little bit sketchy, that data set. It's kind of based on hand collected annual reports from the time, and they do it on dividends. But, you know, they've still got that data. And 1825 is when the Industrial Revolution came to the States. That was the ships and Commodore Vanderbilt. So it goes back a long way. what we've seen, and this is kind of the amazing thing, like there have been these notable periods of value drawdowns over that 200 years. And it's when I say a drawdown, what I mean is like it just gets behind the market because the market gets very speculative and it runs up a lot. And the Fed kind of, it seems like to me like the Fed keeps on intervening to stop it from falling over, which has just propped it up and it's sort of climbed and climbed and climbed. And value tends not to participate just because value guys tend to be a little bit more disciplined, won't pay up for sort of even better businesses, won't pay up for kind of marginal businesses. And so it's lagged, and it's lagged by the most in 200 years, which is kind of amazing. So a lot of people have said it's dead. A lot of people don't want to be associated with it anymore. No one wants to be tagged with that value investor moniker. Every you know, I have my own podcast and I have people on, I say he's a value investor. They always want to correct me. Oh, I'm not a value investor. I'm a quality investor. I'm something else. But I can see what's been happening. And so I can see the portfolios that we're putting together. I'm very happy to wear the name. I'm very happy to be the Viceroy of Value. I'm very happy to be the modern Walter Schloss, because Walter Schloss invested for 54 years at 20% plus for that. So that's not too bad.
A bad run.
He's done pretty well there. But I can see the portfolios underlying what we're buying. And they keep on getting, you know, the yield and the growth in those portfolios is now better than the market. But in addition to that, you're getting them at half the price of the market. The multiples are half the market. So at some stage when the speculative boom is over and we will go back to a market that is more closely tied to fundamentals, you will see some more performance out of those portfolios.
Now, one of the things that it's been brought up a few times, but it's amazing how it's just laughingly discarded. This is the type of action. Now, and we'll get into the whole GameStop thing. I was joking with the people because I have been making a media blitz, man, this week. I've done an interview with CNBC that got turned into an article, which was kind of cool and kind of not, and I'll explain later. Did a TV interview with Fox out of DC, and then also another one with Cheddar TV. It's a subsidiary of, I think it's Yahoo Finance,
if I'm not mistaken.
And every time a interview request came through, I was like, oh, great, they want to talk to me about the market and value. Nope, just GameStop and just GameStop, Bed Bath & Beyond, and AMC, man. That's all anybody wanted to talk about. But anyway, one of the things that in this topic of conversation, in my opinion, seems like something's missing is, aren't these the kind of things that you see happen at euphoric tops in markets or close to them?
Well, I tweeted this out yesterday afternoon to the usual sort of derision from all of the usual pumpers on Twitter. But I had three charts that I tweeted out, and these were, so one of them is it shows small trader call volume, so call options. And that is at an all-time high. And that sort of, you typically see that kind of speculative, that's really, really speculative behavior. You know, calls are like supercharged bullish bets. And so, and the small stuff indicates that it's retail rather than instos doing it.
And Toby, before you go on really quick, I just want to, just for the listeners, I want them to explain is that a call option is when you're betting that a stock goes up. And it has a time period. That bet is only good for a certain period of time. These people are buying these call options, betting on 30, 40, 50% pops in a stock in a week or two, right?
Right. Very short term. Very short term. Very speculative behavior.
And if it doesn't pay, if it doesn't go up 50%, you lose 100% of your money.
Right. You're out. All of it. It's a donut.
Right.
So that it's very, very aggressive. And it's the behavior you only really see at the very tail end of a bull market. And we saw some very late last year, and then it did pull back a little bit pretty substantially, but it's just rallied all the way back to where we're right at an all-time high now, and it's higher now than it was in 2000, which is kind of extraordinary proportionate to the market. So the speculative element is there, which is typically what you see at the end of a bull market. The other thing was the Goldman Sachs tracks this thing called the non-profitable technology index. So that's what it sounds like, techs that don't make any money. That is typically, that's a pretty good short for the most part, because they're the kind of companies that people love them, but over time they sort of disappoint. So you do well being long that stuff. that has gone backwards from 2000 until last year, and it's had this absolutely monster rally. It's up something like that portfolio would be up five times over the last year, which is, you know, 5,000% over the last year. And then the last one is the companies with the highest short interest. So shorts get a lot of bad press, but shorts are pretty good at ferreting out fraud, earnings manipulation, financial distress that people may not be aware of, and then letting the market know about it. They're trying to profit off it, of course, but for the most part, shorts are pretty good at what they do because it's tough to be a short. And the short index has rallied five times over the last 12 months too. So these are the most heavily shorted names. All of those things together indicate to me a very, very speculative market. Then you add into that, you know, we've got VIX is very, very elevated. The CAPE, cyclically adjusted PE, is higher than it's been other than at the dot-com peak. So all of these things together tell me we're in a very expensive, very bullish, very late-stage bull, and I wouldn't be surprised if we see some fireworks in the very near term. We're seeing some today, but I think that there's a lot more to come.
One of the things that I joked around about before you came on here is I equated, and in no way intend to be blasphemous here, but it's almost like the Fed is pulling a Jesus trick. All right, guys, unfortunately, due to time constraints, we got to cut things off right here. But as always, I'd strongly suggest you listen to the rest of the interview. It's my favorite part of the show. You can download and subscribe to the podcast at Know Your Risk Radio. It's also on Stitcher and Apple iTunes and Podbean and you name it. You can also just Google Know Your Risk Radio podcast. You're going to want to hear what Tobias has to say. Brilliant guy, 4 published books, runs 2 different funds, very sharp guy and a good guy. So anyway, other than that, guys, have a great weekend. We're going to keep watching these developments. And as always, we will be back next week to update you. Have a wonderful weekend. Stay healthy. Stay safe. This is, you're listening to the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham now at knowyourriskradio.com. Zach will be back with more Know Your Risk Radio next Saturday at noon on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH.
Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.